Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Divine, all blessed, Olodumare, Moki, Loni, Mowogun, Marin, Aye, Mother, Father, Creator, God, I greet the new day, I greet the four directions that create the world. Mojuba, Olodumare, Mojuba, Olorun, Mojuba, Oluwa, Olofi, Ashe, Mojuba, Oloju, Oni, Oni, Omo, Ofen, Otumla, Omo, Olofen, Oruni Omo Olofin, Ire Mi Omo Olofin, Ashe, Asheo, Yago, Ashe. We praise God, the Most High Creator, Creator God of the heavens, God of worldly affairs, Ashe. We praise the God of today, for today indeed is the child of God. Tomorrow is indeed the child of God. Day after tomorrow is indeed the child of Olodumare. And my good fortune is the child of the Most High. And so it be. Ashe, Asheo, Ashe. You are now listening live to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Elagun Oloye Hudu Obeya Bokor, sharing with you on all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, evolutionary, revolutionary, universal, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veil, for it is all just an illusion and a test, to one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my ever-living reality. It is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, and my works along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. And it is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding, the place from where I begin, the place from where I realize and crystallize all my endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine, all-blessed reality. And so it is, Ashe. Today is Friday, November 10th. 2017, and I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum, universally from this working temple of the House of the Divine Prince. Thai Potions, Hoodoo Central, Black Hawk Voodoo, in this legendary, historic, beautiful, and most enchanted city in America, New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this spiritualist hoodoo obey a life path and journey, passing down that great Obeah stick along with the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, rituals, spirits, and minerals. Always humbled and honored and appreciative by those of you who do choose to join me here in the middle of your day at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time for the Power Lunch, Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes, here on Blog Talk Radio, Revolutionary Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes, here on Blog Talk Radio. My direct URL show page is www.blogtalkradio.com/the-divine-prince. My live listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967. When you are ready with your question, comment, or request, please do press the number one on your telephone keypad, and I will gladly bring you into this squared circle of gods and goddesses. I do not do live readings here on the show. My website, where I can be reached utilizing various means, various websites, various ways to connect with me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And those links can all be found at my website at www.houseofthedivineprince.com. Eshu Alek Buana Kofi Were Awo Unlo Uto Ni Iwo Ada Afambo Osi Obatalami Itani Iwo Onilio Oban Eshu. Eshu is the respected elder who flogs, confronts, and uncovers fools. That one verse in mysteries uses truth to own you. He causes scatter to feed poverty. Obatalai shakes rascals to have sacrifice. The owner of warnings is the one who is Eshu. Aborgu, Aboye, Aboshishe, Ashe. May our Ebos reach a room. May our Ebos be accepted. May our Ebos allow what we desire. to come to pass. And so we say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Indeed, as always, I want to acknowledge the ancestors and the great shoulders of the ancestors on which we all now stand and have our very being. For without them, we would not be present. For without them, we would not be alive. And so we always, and I just want to take a moment to stop and talk just a little bit about the word all. All. We use the word all. I say all is a blessing. All is a blessing. And there's those crossroads that we cross over about health, about finances, about love, about bereavement. And the question is asked, is all a blessing still? And indeed, all is truly a blessing. Just as is love. We had a discussion earlier today about love. Question was asked about love, and the negative implications of love were implied in the conversation. And I responded to clarify that love is absolute. It doesn't require a response. It doesn't require active, necessary participation from the person, place, or thing on which we place our love. Many of you operate in the realm of faith in the same way. We don't place judgment on faith the way we tend to place judgment on regular everyday activities. And so all, and the usage of the word all, is a strong word. It's an infinite word usage when we say all. And so when I say all is a blessing, I truly and indeed mean that. I've been accused of not bringing enough of who I am to the show. Some of you think I don't have blocks, I don't have problems, I don't have my own shortcomings that I've had to overcome and deal with and confront along my own half a century or more of life here on Mother, Father, Earth. And indeed, I have, and I do. Where I place my emphasis is on the lesson. Is a blessing suggest a lesson in all things, good or bad? We easily embrace the sunshine. We easily embrace the summer and the spring and the fruitfulness that those seasons bring. We bitterly contest the winter and the fall. We bitterly struggle against those polarities that absolutely must exist in order for us to have life, for us to have reality, for us to have this existence by which we have been discussing the 10, 11 dimensional spaces for which we operate in order to achieve this miraculous reality of life that the great creators have given us. And within those dimensions exists all things that we can think of, that we can conceive, that we can imagine. This includes our thoughts and our memories and our recollections and our learning and those things that have been instilled in us, within us, through life experience. I'm always surprised by people looking for love who don't know love or don't know self-love and don't show that up in demonstration. I'm always surprised by people who are professing loneliness, isolation, a learning for, a yearning for, a desire for a mate and a partner. And I've noted that these same people often do not show up in their social relationships. And it's very easy to put on a mask, to put on a smile, to put on the face of joy, particularly when we're looking at social media, You know, a photo is a snapshot, is a moment in time. A video is a moment in time, a clip of a moment in time. And we tend to put on our best face and our best smile and our best cheese for those moments. It is those moments in between that I, in my profession, one of my good friends today, sort of pulled my coattail on some of the requirements of what I do that some of you don't do or don't feel an obligation to do or acknowledge. And that is people. And the people that we come in contact with every single day, including social media, including the internet. So I don't buy sort of this idea that people are one thing and life is one thing on the internet, and it's somehow totally separate from who you are in real life. If you're rude online, you're rude in real life. If you don't know how to show greeting, show respect, show common courtesy in real life, that shows up in a more condensed way in who you are on the internet. So people like Tasha Love and Shy Love, who show love and peace and healing, gratitude each and every day, those are who those people are in real life. Now, I've attempted to reach out to you, Shy Love, and I still ain't got that phone call. But Tasha, I've had a little bit more communication with Tasha, and Tasha is love. Tasha is exactly who you see. I'm exactly who you see. Those of you who remember the beloved Queenie Fama, may she rest in her womb, was indeed exactly who she was, the truth terrorist. And as I suggested on yesterday, there's a concerted effort. I'm going to cross that conspiracy theory line today and say that it's a conscious effort to break down communication, to break down people's ability to learn and relearn. Remember, that used to be passed on in the house from your grandparents and your great-grandparents and your parents, and you were taught how to show honor and respect to people, to your elders, to humanity, to children. We don't have that in place today, and it's often not demonstrated in pop culture. We look at reality TV, we look at the news, we look at our magazines, we look at our videos. There's a love for and a thirst for the negative. There's a love for and a thirst for the clapback and the diss, what we used to call play in the dozens back in the day. And today it's not play. It's gotten very serious. And so the love of self shows up in your demonstration. The love of who you are shows up in your demonstration. And I have a hard time buying the storyline that you have love for the people in your demonstration each and every day in terms of how you communicate with people, places, and things in your life. Every social ill we face today is rooted in the lack of communication. Every social ill, the hunger, the homeless, the lack of employment or lack of resources, all have a root in the lack of communication. At the most basic level, we have a saying here in the deep and dirty South, a closed mouth don't get fed. And so we don't know how to ask for what we need. We know how to ask for what we want. We don't know how to ask for what we need. And let me remind you that in the communication, I'm not just talking about you and your partner, or you within your household, or you in your job space, or you within your community. But I'm also talking about you within yourself and how we communicate, what inner language, what inner dialogue is being communicated. Because ultimately, That shows up in your demonstration. Ultimately, that shows up how you manifest that love, that respect, that communication, and how you communicate and deal with people each and every day. As a spiritualist, a practitioner, a voodoo practitioner, I do a lot of consultation. I hear a lot of people's love and desire and problems and issues and complications. So I've done a lot of people watching, if you will. I've had an opportunity to watch people, to watch life, to watch how we interact with one another. And I found quite often that people who are overtly communicable about love and relationships and their lack of that, there's no one for me, people are this and they're all that, I find that those people tend to be the most self-absorbed, the most egotistical, the most self-absorbed in terms of their perspective on life. It's all about me, myself, and I. Some of my long-term listeners have heard me talk about this in previous shows back in the year when we talked about depression. There was a time when we were doing EFI Wednesday and we had a variety of EFI practitioners on, and we had a sort of ongoing underlying theme of mental health present in the conversation and how that is not talked about, not discussed within our community, particularly Black community and people of color. And I found through my own experience with depression and that with those around me and those within my practice, that there's a place in depression that we go that's totally selfish. And it's only about what they've done to me, what life has done to me, what I feel owed. And it's all from a selfish perspective. And so that blocks your ability to open your eyes and your ear and your consciousness to positive programs, reprogramming that vibration to I have what I need. I am all that I need. It's divinely innate. It is divinely inherent. When you begin to project that vibration, not only do your emotions begin to change, but then your communication with people around you begins to change. But you can be empathetic with yourself. It's easier to be empathetic and not judgmental of others. And I'm finding that, beloved, those who are the most blocked as it relates to love and relationship, hold, conserve all of their energy, all of their love, all of their so-called social skills, only for that potential mate. And the sunshine rises and the lights come on and the blinds raise up and you're a whole new person under the prospect of this potential relationship. It's like a drug. It's like a drug, but once you are back in your everyday space, the negative projections, and along with the negative judgment of people, places, things, society, religion, government, groups, rises to the surface, and it is what fuels and what feeds ultimately the energy that's mirrored back to you. I beg you to try this. I beg you to test this. I beg you not to believe what I'm saying enough to give it a try. Give it a try. You've got to project what you want. You've got to feed what you need in order to have that show up first within you and then around you. It's a struggle in Western society to get people to hear this message. Some of you have already tuned out to what I'm trying to say because it requires homework. It requires self-judgment. It requires going within and looking at how we operate. I crossed a good friend's page earlier today who was talking about lack of love, lack of relationship, lack of partnership. And I know from personal experience, this person is not social at all, standoffish, quite judgmental, not open to hearing anything that is positive or therapeutic or different or good. And 10 years later, still seeking love, still posting about seeking love and how difficult that is. So we've got to begin to do that work. Somebody's asking me now, well, how is this relevant to what we've been talking about for the last 2 or 3 days? It's extremely, because we can't discuss any complicated issues in our community without the ability to exercise and demonstrate these communication skills. And if we're not able to hear and allow people to speak and be empathetic to other people's situations, to other people's need, to where people are in their journey, we start calling people niggas and coons, you're not empathetic to the Black cause, you're not empathetic to post-traumatic stress disorder, you're not empathetic to where people are in their journey. And instead of doing something to elevate, to reach out to triage the wound, to triage the situation, we move into that judgment. We move into that condescending type conversation and dialogue. And I find this strongly, strongly with my body of family that are distressed as it relates to love and relationships. You've got to learn to love yourself. You've got to learn to accept yourself. You've got to learn to heal yourself before you can then heal others. Many are on the journey of healing and discovery, and you come across new tools and you come across new information, and 2 weeks later you're a practitioner and you're a tarot reader and you're trying to address really deep issues that you yourself have blocked to, that you yourself are not willing to do the work for. One of my most popular videos on YouTube, YouTube, Voodoo Tie, V like Victor, O-O, D like David, O-O, T like Tom, Y-E, Voodoo Tie, YouTube Voodoo Tie, one of my most popular video. I think it has around 10,000 views right now, maybe 20. I'm not sure. I haven't checked lately. Is about the dangers of tarot reading and really all forms and divination. People's lack of ignorance about the signs, the symbolism that's being utilized within the symmetry of the cards. Symbology, I mean, of the cards, how that releases energy, spirit, jinn, every time it's laid on the table, and then how we are unlocking and opening doors of emotion. People break down, people cry, people are happy, people are hopeful, people show their negativity. All this comes to the surface, divination. And so it's more than just reading cards. It's more than just telling people a priest about their fortune and their future. I'm always amazed by the number of homeless and distressed and drug addicts that are on the streets in New Orleans, in Jackson Square, in the French Quarter, you know, providing tarot card readings. And many of you are willing to, you know, spend your dime. Spend your dime because you want to help. Spend your dime because you understand what's happening in the context of homelessness and drug addiction and people being on the street today with their dogs and their boyfriends and their girlfriends and shopping carts full of stuff. It's amazing you all don't see that. You see that deck of cards for that $5 reading, but you don't see, you know, that basket that their whole entire life contents are in. And the same thing happens online. People mask as readers. You see a bunch, you know, 100, 200 photos of me, myself, and I and my faith, and you don't see them in the community. You don't see that faith and other people who gather around the same belief, the same practice, the same tradition. So we've got to take more responsibility, more autonomy, more responsibility in how we walk this journey that we call life and how we stand up in it and show our demonstration. How authentic, truly indeed, are we? Have a visitor send me an email for a reading with a name involving two stars. Then I get a response email with the name me. And then, of course, there's an email address. There's an email address that they use through PayPal. There's an IP address that's really easy to access. And then the person writes an e-check. Some of you know how e-check works. E-check is something that PayPal does, and they've got to verify and clear the check. But the person rushed or thought they were going to rush to get me to provide them a reading or a service before that check cleared. So the second, the third day, I'm getting negative emails. This is somebody with a website that I'm not going to call out today. I know you're listening, but I'm not going to call it out today. Not today. But they got an email, you know, with this positive affirmation. And they've sent me some of the most derogatory responses that I've ever received. And I'm amazed at the people who are priding themselves somehow as life coaches and spiritualists and healers and all this stuff, and they're hiding, masking all this hatred and backbiting and racism and homophobia and sexism and madness and mental health issues and excessive compulsive issues. And you, the listener, you, the seeker, you, the journeyman, are often drawn in by the flashing lights and whistles, by the ego-based post. And you're not listening. You're not watching. You're not truly and indeed paying attention. Doesn't matter the sex identity, economic class, who they are, where they came from. That demonstration shows you and tells you people are either operating in the dark or they're operating truly in the light. There is no going back into dark when you're operating in the light. There is no straddling. There is no, I'm thinking and I haven't made a choice or a decision yet. And ultimately, it shows up in your demonstration. I want to take this time, too, to educate you about keen comments. I was in a discussion with another reader about keen comments, and she was saying that she knows the pattern. Every certain amount of days, every time period, once she sort of passes a certain threshold, there's always this random member./ a series of numbers that shows up in our account and leaves negative feedback after spending, you know, $3 to $5 or whatever it is on Keen site. And so I asked you to, as I told her, to look at those comments much the way the news broadcasters instruct you to look at these Nigerian scams and the fraudulent posts, fraudulent emails. Check the spelling. Check the grammar. Look at the familiarity of the wording and how one comment mirrors the other. There's no variation. What really happened, though? What the response is for in regards to the comment or rating? This happens to us each and every day when we go into the store, when you buy gas, when you're watching TV and the commercials are rolling past you, you know, and you're sort of in an unconscious state and not paying attention. These sellers, these advertisers, these marketers, these fraudsters, these tricksters know how to get you at the ego level. They know where you're most greedy, most needy, most desiring, and that's where they get you at. That's why I don't sell and promote. People seek me out for readings. People seek me out for services, but I really don't do the call me now. I really don't send emails reminding you that I'm here, reminding you to check in with me and get an update about your business. And readings truly and indeed are your business. They're not entertainment. They're not for fun. They can be put in a context, just as I did with Big Freedia on television. I've done so in movies and TV commercials where there's a entertainment element that's been projected there. But when you're in sacred space and we're going at these religions and these traditions and these consultations from a sacred perspective, all bets are off for me in terms of behavior, professionalism, attitude, how we act in sacred space. When you're seeking guidance, when you come seeking help, the assumption is you're seeking help. And so that's serious business for me. Two semicolons and a dot is not a legitimate name. Me is not a legitimate name. And often, and I'm speaking to fellow practitioners now, often it's a sign coming through the door that you're about to be scammed. You as a practitioner are about to be. And so I guess Beloved thought I was going to give her all my services before that check cleared. And then bounce. And that didn't happen. I refunded her money, let her know that that wasn't an acceptable practice. PayPal noted it with PayPal. I'm sure they emailed her and sent her a communication and stressed the same thing. So, you know, we've got to get real about communication. I find it really odd to have 5,000 Facebook friends or more. I've got more than one account. And only 10 people, 20 people will actually pick up their phone and communicate with you, will actually come out and meet you for those who are local and shake your hand, get to know you, find out the validity of who you are. And we stay and hide behind these titles, these religions, these mindsets, these philosophies, if you will. And so being Black, being African, has never meant that we were all one thing. It's never meant that we are all homogeneous. It's never meant that we were all of the same family. There's no harm in diversity. God created diversity. Olodumare created diversity. I'm not put off by people who have a difference of opinion. I'm not put off personally by people who do not agree with me. I'm put off by people and their demonstration. Your demonstration tells me indeed truly who you are. Your demonstration tells us indeed who and what you serve, who and what you operate in, who and what you truly understand. And so I'm running out of time, as I always do. I'm going to, eventually my schedule will let up and I'll be able to go back to a two-hour format. But right now, all I can do is 45 minutes, and I'm grateful for the opportunity, the platform to come and share me, who I am, in an organic, authentic way. Many of you appreciate that, and I know it. I get the emails, I receive the donations, and I'm grateful indeed. But for those of you who, through your demonstration, give me cause for response, know that there's always response. It's just not always the response that you anticipate. Respect the voodoo, respect the ancestors. Know that the ancestors see all time, all is a blessing.
Congo Square. The Omus Indians prepared this place for us centuries before our arrival. A sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. The Omus Indians prepared this place for us. Centuries before our arrival. Congo Square, a sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. And as the colonizers came, our hosts, the Omus Indians, they pushed aside our hosts. The colonizers came and pushed aside our hosts and introduced us in chains. And by the late 1700s, we somehow, recognizing the sacredness of Le Place de Congo, we somehow, and the how of our somehow persuasive methodologies is not clear at this moment. The how is not clear. How our persuasive methodologies worked is not clear at this moment. But nevertheless, even as slaves, we crafted and created a space where we could be free to be we. And thusly we countered the sacrilegiousness of the French, giving great homage to our ancestors as well as giving praise and thanks to our red-blooded brothers and sisters. This is an oral libation toast to Congo Square, to Native Americans, to our ancestors who made a circle out of a square and gave us a way to stay ourselves, save ourselves from the transformatory ugliness of America, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life. Which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life and celebrates death with crosses and crosses, double and triple crosses, the middle passage, the first cross, Christianity, the double cross, and capitalism, the ultimate triple coup de grace cross of our captivity. But the terror of crosses notwithstanding, we sang. We beat, we be, we was and is. Hail Congo Square, Congo, Congo Square. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us, inside the beat of us. Our African gods have...